Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking about a shayla of transgender people and yichud. This is a little bit of a hotter topic than I generally like to address. The only reason I'm talking about it tonight, and honestly I'm not sure if I'm going to place this year online, because these are sort of my preliminary thoughts, not necessarily my final maskanas, but I'm recording it. If I decide to put it online, I will. If not, not. Like everything in life, it depends on my mood. But the reason why I'm discussing this topic is because I got a call from a few very sincere, firm young women in the community. They were looking for a roommate, and they get a call from somebody who's applying to be their roommate who is a trans woman. What that means is someone who was born male and now looks female. So they asked me, are they allowed to take this biological male as their roommate? So that shayla kind of got me to look into the question a little bit. And there is one sefer, and to the best of my knowledge, one sefer and one sefer only, that has been published on this topic. It is called Sefer Dar Tahapuchos. The Sefer Dar Tahapuchos, I have a photo offset of a chunk of the sefer over here. It's written by a fellow, Idan Ben Ephraim, who wrote a sefer called Eis Mochama also. And this book, Dar Tahapuchos, is Odos Masha Ola B'Doreinu Dar Tahapuchos Nituchim L'Shinui Hamin, right? What has come up in our generation, Nituchim means surgeries, L'Shinui Hamin, to change one's sex. Olam Hafuch Ra'inu, it's a upside-down world. Hofchem Ish L'Isha, Isha L'Ish, B'Derech Hormonolios V'Kirorigios. Right, basically, they use chromosomes and hormones to change the people. Now, what this guy is doing, and you could see this already from the title page, is he is making a complete and total chalant out of this topic. Let me explain what I mean. Chalant can sometimes be good, but sometimes when you mix the wrong things into the chalant, it ends up not being as tasty as you would like. And the issue is as follows. Here, this is already a very scholarly source. It's called Wikipedia. Okay? Wikipedia basically tells us that transgender people are those who have a gender identity or gender expression that differs from their assigned sex.
You mean their birth sex?
Meaning their assigned sex. They are very careful in the way they frame it, right?
Okay.
Very careful in the way they frame it. Which is that a person is born and he or she is assigned male or female. And then transgender people have gender identity or gender expression that differs from that. Transgender people are sometimes called transsexual if they desire medical assistance to transition from one gender to another. Now, this is actually very important. There is a difference between transgender and transsexual. Okay, transgender means that you identify as being a different gender than you were assigned at birth. Transsexual means, in most cases, that you underwent some surgery to change it. That is a very big difference. Now, we will also talk halacha tonight. Don't think that this is only going to be theory. But there is a big difference between transgender and transsexual. Hi, Frida.
No, there's a term, gender dysphoria.
Okay, so gender dysphoria is as follows. Gender dysphoria is when an individual has an uncomfortable feeling about who he or she is. Right? There's an uncomfortable feeling and they feel yucky about it. It's really bothersome. So that is a psychological condition, even in the most recent DSM. Are any of you here psychologists? No? Wow. Okay. Usually we have more psychologists. But the basic idea is, in the current world of psychology, if a person wants to transition from male to female, female to male, that's not a problem. But if they feel uncomfortable about who they are, right, that before or after, so that is a problem. Now, the current world also distinguishes between gender and sex in the sense of sex, they teach you this to you like an intro to psych, like in college. Sex is a biological term, right? I am XY. I am male, right? Gender is how I present myself. Gender is a social construct. This is the current thinking in the world, that gender and sex are different. There is a third category, which is called one's attraction. No? That is a third category, which l'cha'ora, according to the great Gaon and Tzaddik Wikipedia, is completely unrelated to the other categories. Zos omeris, meaning to say, one can, let's say, be transgender, that you change, that you identify, you were born male, your assigned gender is male. You identify female, but you could be a transgender person who is attracted to another female. Right?
I know somebody like that.
I know someone like that also. Right? That means that you identify as female and you're attracted to females. You could also be identified as female and you are attracted to males.
You mean if you started out as male and you change?
You start off as male. You identify as female, and then you're attracted to males. That could also happen, right? In other words, in this world where we live, there are three different things. There is sex, gender, and sexual attraction. No? This is, now, the thing that got this conversation going, and again, you could read all of this here, in Wikipedia, and by the way, Wikipedia is known to be as accurate as other sources. So it's not like, it's also very accessible, right? What you have to do is Google the term, and this is Wikipedia. I actually brought also like a 30-page printout from Wikipedia, their entire article on transgender. But the basic yesod is that they have it over here. Here, the third paragraph is about gender dysphoria. Here, second paragraph. Being transgender is independent of sexual orientation. Transgender people may identify as heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, or asexual. Right? As I state. Now, the question that we're going to grapple with is as follows. Does halacha recognize any distinction between sex and gender?
Or about someone who's an androgynous?
So, androgynous. Androgynous means someone who is halachically both male and female, no?
Yes.
There is a machlokas, by the way, whether an androgynous is a suffix zachar, suffix nekeva, or whether an androgynous is a beria b'fnei atzmo.
What could you do?
Is androgynous a question whether the fellow or the fellowette, whatever, is male or female? Or is androgynous not a question? Is androgynous someone who is a new category in halacha? This is very important in the sense of today in the world out there, that you have to be very careful with pronouns in this world. You know? By the way, this might be more pronounced in the New York area than it is in all other places of the planet.
Or California.
Or California. Right? Basically, any state that voted for Hillary, it's more pronounced
than... That's not fair to Hillary. There are a lot of quotes. Right.
Whatever. Not for now. But this is certainly more pronounced in New York. That... people will say, you know what, there's not only two genders, or not only two sexes, people will say, there are, right, and they have a whole alphabet, LGBTQI, What's the I? I is intersex. Intersex is someone who is somewhere in between, male and female. My wife was just presenting at a conference yesterday. And at the conference, so they were talking about Orthodox Judaism and their approach to some of these issues. And somebody who was like a real heckler, he came and he says, you know, Orthodox Judaism is terrible, it's awful, because it makes you make these binary distinctions that there's a mechitza in shul, and you're on this side or on that side, you're male or female. What about all of us who are somewhere in between? Or what about all of us who aren't sure? You know, it's very hard to respond to that, right? Halacha generally assumes that there is Zachar and Nekeva, male and female. No, that's like the Pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, Zachar and Nekeva Bara'am. That does not mean that there is nothing in between. Androgynous might be an example of something somewhat in between, according to some opinions. But the mainstream opinion, I think, about androgynous is both male and female, and that creates a new type of suffix. You see, there are spekos in the sense of, I'm not sure what I am. Right? That in halacha is called a tumtum. Sometimes, by the way, these cases do happen pretty rarely, but sometimes, the Tzitz Eliezer was the Rebbe of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, and the Tzitz Eliezer says, like, I saw babies who are tumtum, that you can't really tell what they are. You look at them when they come out, you don't know, is it a male or a female? And sometimes, even more rare, you have a baby who's an androgynous, who has signs of being both male and female. Now, what happens in these cases? Most poskim assume that both of these are a suffix, but the sfeikos are somewhat different. The suffix of a tumtum you can resolve. The Gemara speaks about a tumtum shenikra, no? Technically speaking, you can do some sort of surgery, get like beneath the surface and figure out what that person is. Is it male or female? Androgynous has signs of both being male and female. And androgynous is probably a different type of suffix. It's a suffix because you're both, no? Rav Soloveitchik used to say, for example, the suffix of Bein HaShmashos is that you are Yom and Laila at the same time. It's not that we're not sure of your identity. It's not that Bein HaShmashos is akin to a tumtum. It's that Bein HaShmashos is more akin to an androgynous, no? Okay, so the question that we have to figure out is, does halacha recognize the difference between sex and gender? And of course, there are going to be, like every question in halacha, three possibilities. Right? One possibility is, yes, halacha recognizes a difference between sex and gender, and that basically would be saying that maybe the halacha follows, in biological terms, they speak about your genotype and your phenotype, no? It follows your phenotype, which is the way you appear. And that would mean that halachically, let's say a woman who becomes a man would now have to start wearing tefillin every day. No? Okay, that's interesting. A man becomes a woman, doesn't have to wear tefillin anymore.
So what do you do about
that? A woman becomes a man, do you need a bris milah? Right? Well, whoa. So this already gets complicated. I don't want to get into the details on this because it's a little bit gross. But obviously, the answer is no. Right? For a number of reasons. But maybe we'll discuss that at a different time. Let's say a woman, right? So one approach in halacha is that you follow what you look like now. Another approach in halacha is the opposite extreme, which is that if you're born male, halacha says you're male. End of discussion. You're born female, halacha says you're female. End of discussion. Then there's a third approach in halacha. And the third approach in halacha would say that the halacha distinguishes between different areas, different mitzvos. Pardon me. Can you just pass me the tissue box? So halacha might say that for certain things, we follow what you look like. And for other things, we follow how you were born. That's a third approach in halacha. In other words, I have to look at different dinim. In this sefer Dorta Hapuchos, which is, so he basically, the sefer Dorta Hapuchos, says that, certain areas of halacha are clearly based on how you look. Let's say a woman becomes a man. So the Dorta Hapuchos says, does the woman, a married woman, have to cover her hair? Right?
Wait, after she became a man?
After you became a man, that's the question.
The man has to cover his head.
Do you have to cover your hair? So he says, it's clear, right, that a woman who becomes a man, he says, is allowed to not cover her hair, his hair, and is allowed to dress like a man. That's what he says.
Who says that?
This sefer Dorta Hapuchos.
What's the Tzitz Eliezer say?
We'll talk about the Sicilians in a few minutes.
Once she becomes a man, the marriage is like the front, right?
The what?
The marriage is like kaput.
Whoa. Yeah. So that's another thing we have to talk about. When my father was directing the Business of America, so at one point, two women show up and they say, we'd like a get. So my father says, this is an Orthodox Besdin. We don't do those things. So they said, no, Rabbi, it's not what you think. So my father's like, okay, run this one by me. So so they say, when we got married, she was a he. So my father says, okay, I hear. We'll do a get for you. But you have to show up to the get the way you looked when you got married. So he shows up in tuxedo, she shows up in the wedding gown. Perfect! Great! Right? In other words, we're not gonna... Right? Now, again, is that halachically correct? So I would assume yes. I would assume that the halacha for questions of marriage does not recognize the change. But maybe you could say that you don't have to cover your hair anymore after the change, perhaps. Let's talk about kol b'isha erva, tefach b'isha erva, tznius issues, right? So he writes that a man who becomes a woman has to dress in tznius for women. That's what this sefer Dorta Hapuchos says, because he says that the halachos of tznius are there to make sure that there's no sexual distraction. Like you're saying, Kriya Shema, you can't be distracted by someone. A man can't be distracted by a woman who's not properly dressed. So he says he thinks that they have to dress with tznius. That's on page 176. Let's say a woman becomes a man. Is there an Isser Negia? Right? Woman becomes a man. Can a man touch her? Him. By the way, you're supposed to use the pronoun, again, in the society out there. I am not making... The politically correct thing to do is that you use the pronoun that the person identifies with.
Did you hear that the Boy Scouts did today? They dropped boy. Now they just scout.
No, that's a different...
So now...
But it's the same idea.
So, negia, etc. So he says it depends on how you identify. Yichud. That's our shayla, right? So the Sefer Dorta Hapuchos argues that on page 190 that a woman who becomes a man, so she should not have a woman who becomes a man, so this new man should not have yichud with a woman. That the dinim of yichud are based on how you appear. And a man who becomes a woman should not have yichud, right, with other men, with cis men, biological men, right? Okay. Now, his argument in the Sefer Dorta Hapuchos is as follows. He says that all these dinim, yichud, negia, etc., these dinim are based on a concern, a chashash, that it might come to Gilui Erva, it might come to Arayos, and therefore, he argues, that once you are a transgender, so then there is no concern of Gilui Erva. Right? Again, so a man who becomes a woman, so right now that person halachically, he says, for dinim of Negia, for dinim of Yichud, is a woman. If it's a woman, right, so you could have Yichud with other women. So in our case here in the Heights, when these two women called me and they said, we're looking for a roommate, and this person expressed interest, the person was born male, so the Sefer Dar Tapuchos would say, mutter. It seems to me that this is absolutely wrong.
What?
Absolutely wrong. In Gansin, wrong.
Even though
this person appears female, I do not believe that we can categorically say that Yichud is mutter with other females. Now let's go slowly. The process of becoming transgender usually involves a few stages. Stage one is that you cross-dress. By the way, there are real Isurim in the Torah in cross-dressing, no? Right? A woman is not allowed to wear men's clothing. Men are not allowed to wear women's clothing. Cross-dressing is really usur. Purim, the Ramah, has some sort of kula, not so easy to understand, but it exists, right? But halachically, cross-dressing is usur, given. Now, oftentimes, the way the process of becoming transgender works is first you cross-dress, then you go for hormone therapy. Mm-hmm. Hormone therapy helps a man, let's say, develop female characteristics. So the man will grow breasts, the body will begin to follow more of the female shape. A woman who becomes a man and takes hormones will get a deeper voice, will start appearing manly, and might even grow facial hair. That could happen. Right? You take hormones and it happens. The Sefer Darta HaPuchos does not distinguish between stage one, cross-dressing, stage two, hormones, stage three, which is the most serious isser, which is when you undergo surgery. Surgery is a very serious isser of siros, no? Right? You're not allowed to damage your reproductive organs. Halachically, it's really, really bad. So the Sefer Dar Tapuchos says, you know what, it doesn't matter. Once you are identifying as female, that shows that you are attracted to men.
Not
a woman... Wait. First we're giving his argument. Sefer Dar Tapuchos says, once you identify as female, that shows that you are attracted to men, not women. Hence, yichud with women is permitted. Now, Frida knows somebody, and Wikipedia knows lots of people. In fact, here, in the full Wikipedia article on this topic, quote, transgender, in 2015, the National Center for Transgender Equality conducted a national transgender discrimination survey. Of the 27,715 transgender and non-binary people who took the survey, 21% said the term queer best described their sexual orientation. 18% said pansexual. That means you're attracted to everybody. 16% gay or lesbian or same gender loving. That means that once they become a woman, they are attracted to women. 15% said straight. And 14% said bisexual.
What's queer mean? What is it?
Yeah.
It means that you're not sure about anything.
You're not sure.
Everything's something. Now, the point is that he is assuming that when a man becomes a woman, that man is, that biological man who identifies as a woman, is now going to not be attracted to women. That's not correct in halacha. in Metzius, I should say. It's not correct in Metzius. There are many people who are transgender. Again, if you add up the numbers over here, 16% plus 21% is 37% of those. 37% of those who are transgender identify in some way that they might actually, and if we add those who are pansexual, that's 37 plus 18, that's 55%. 55% could be attracted to women. Now, one time I was speaking to somebody who was discussing possibly transitioning with me. And honestly, it's a very uncomfortable conversation for me because, like, it's just uncomfortable. I'm trying to listen to the person. And the person said that she wants to become male. And then I found out later that the person is dating a guy.
Okay.
So, a cis male, someone who was born male, and is, and appears the way they were born. And like, okay. So I'm like asking, like, this woman who is thinking of transitioning to male, like, you're dating a guy, like, what's going on? She's like, yeah, I'm attracted to men, but as a gay person is.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, I have a very hard time understanding this. Like, this is already, you know, like, the Chazal say that the godless of Yosef HaTzadik and Binyamin is that they were able to cry over Churban Beis HaMikdash. Right? When you think about where they are in history and how far away a Beis HaMikdash being built is and how far away Churban Beis HaMikdash is, like, so to me, it's like that type of, it's really far-fetched, to use a Yiddish expression. But, okay, that's what they said. That's what she said. Now, I don't know. It seems to me that to cavalierly say that Yichud is a mutter seems incorrect. To cavalierly say that now, and I told these two women that they could not accept this person who was born male and transitioned to female, they could not accept as a roommate. However, what we will discuss in the next couple of minutes is that maybe there's a kula if you undergo surgery, which means that although the surgery is unequivocally halachically usur, maybe there's a kula. You see, in the Sefer Dar Tapuchos, what he says is that a man who becomes a woman is allowed to have yichud with other women, because if you can't have yichud with other women, you're basically telling this person that you can't live with anybody, because now this person appears like a woman, you can't live with men. We're going to say that halachically you're a man, you can't live with women either, so like, there's no place to live. So he says, because of that, we have to be megal. Personally, I don't get the svara. I mean, like, it's a very, again, it's a very unfortunate case. By the way, when I spoke to Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, who's like the real expert on these things, so he told me that the first point he said is like, you know what, if the person comes to shul, you can sit on any side of the mechitza that you want. Apparently Rav Schechter paskens this way also, although I didn't discuss it with Rav Schechter. Now, what that probably means is that a man who appears as a woman can sit on the woman's side of mechitza. A woman appears a man, can sit on the man's side of mechitza, because push comes to shove, mechitza's there because of distraction. Okay, I could hear that. Then Rabbi Rappaport questioned me. He said, one thing you have to realize is that these people are under intense psychological pain. That you have to realize that, you know, the worst thing in life is if you hate yourself. You know, sometimes there are people who, Rachman al-Atzlan, feel that there's something that they don't like about themselves. There's something that's wrong. And that's a very painful thing. Often that leads to terrible bouts with depression, Rahman al-Atzlan. It could be that we can't make light of this. This is very serious. Certainly, Kol Shekein, a person who feels that they were made wrong, that they are a female in a male's body, you know how painful that is? To feel that everything about you is wrong? So Rabbi Rappaport questioned me. He said, listen, you know, whatever you do, you have to do with tremendous sensitivity. But don't, like, Okay, that's what he said, and okay, got it. Now, as a matter of halacha, there are those who quote the Tzitz Eliezer as saying that the halacha follows your phenotype, that the way you appear is halachically who you are. So I'll give you a few tshuvas of the Tzitz Eliezer, and we will see inside what the Tzitz Eliezer actually says. Okay? We'll look inside to see what he actually says. Maybe if I could ask to hold questions for a few minutes, because I want to do actual Torah tonight instead of just, like, talking. So here is the tshuva. This tshuva is written to a Dr. Schussheim, who was a doctor in the hospital in Shari Tzedek. And he writes that, okay, gotcha. Thank you for your book. Avarti biyuna kama she'elos. I got tremendous pleasure from them. Bertzonila she'o she'elai hochatit. Shehit orira etzli b'meshech avodati b'beit hacholem. I want to ask a question. It's like the fourth paragraph. They came up while working in the hospital. Hashe'ela k'shura b'inyano shel tinok asher nolad lifnei yoser mishana. So there's a baby who was born more than a year ago. When the child was born, they could not certainly identify the sex of the child. The child is named Yarona. It appeared female from the outside. In order to identify positively the sex of the baby, the child was put into the hospital at 6 months old. The child appeared like a female. Zot omeret safot ve'eve ketantan hanir'e keklitoris. Right? Betoch achat ha-safot hayagush b'tzurat eshach. Basically, the child has external genitalia of a female, but in one corner, there was something that appeared like a testicle. Right? Betoch achat ha-safot hayagush b'tzurat eshach. There was something that appeared like a testicle. They tested the child, and they tested the cells of the child, and they found out that the child is male. Habedikot he'alu ta'ei zachar. Right, the top of page 2. The tests showed cells of a male. Hayilud nutach ubutza petichat beten skiratit velo nimsu evarei min pnimiyim. There were no internal sexual organs. In other words, there's no uterus. The child has something that looks like a vagina. There is no uterus. They did a biopsy of the testicle, and it looks, it really is a testicle. So, what's the halacha in this case? So, surgically, it's easier to make the child into a female, despite the fact that the child will never be able to become pregnant, because the child does not have a uterus. However, psychologically, it's better the child should be female, because to change it into a male will create many problems. The question is, are you allowed to change the sex of this child, who genetically is male, to be female? And in this case, can you cut off the one testicle and to change the child into a female? That's the question. Right? This is a serious shaila, no? A very serious shaila that he's dealing with. So, the Tzitz Eliezer writes, Lefi Dati, the letter Aleph, this is true from 1971, letter Aleph, he writes, according to me, Sug ha-yitzar nolad shalam musav shilato, gam ilu yashiro to kefishuhu yehe dino kin keva. The Tzitz Eliezer feels that the child is halachically female. Genetically, the child could be male. But halakhically, the child is female. meaning it's not Ritzoni Lomar Shelo Yehei Alav Afil Din Androgynous Hashlachotav. An androgynous is somebody who has the external genitalia both of a male and of a female. This child only has external genitalia of a female. There are no external genitalia of a male. That testicle is a little bit inside where they found it. It is not external genitalia.
So what female genitalia does it have?
What? It has a vagina.
Has a vagina.
It has a vagina, but not a uterus. But not a uterus, correct.
Did Sarah
Emanuel not
have a uterus? What? But Sarah Emanuel didn't have a uterus.
That's what Chazal say. Correct, okay.
So,
Chazal say that the imahos were born in a way that, I don't know if it says she didn't have a uterus or she was born as an akara, she couldn't have children, whatever it is.
But that's midrash, right?
What?
That's not the text, that's midrash.
That's right? Midrash, yeah, correct, absolutely. So the Tzitz Eliezer deals with this question very seriously, and he paskins that this child is a female. Because according to the Tzitz Eliezer, the external genitalia is what determines what the child is. And in Os Gimel, letter 3, on the top of page 3, the part that I bolded, Leman Hashleimus Asakim Va'omar Shegam Lu Hayalo Liyeludze Din Androgynous. Even if the child would have been an androgynous, O Gamim Tamud Lefaneinu Habaya Al Androgynous Mamish, and even if the child would actually be androgynous, you would also be allowed to change the child to a to become one sex halachically, an androgynous, a child who has simonim of both male and female, you can halachically change, because we know an androgynous can't have children, he says, and therefore you could do surgery, because the iser of siros is only to prevent one who could have children, one who could be molad, from being molad, and therefore you could do surgery and to change the child to be a sex, lohapro lesug vadai biyotim kubelet halacha she'eno molad. Since the child can't have children, therefore you can halachically change it, even if it would be even if it would be a real androgynous. So now, some people say that the Tzitz Eliezer feels that the child's sex is determined by what the child appears like. And that's kind of true, but it's completely unrelated to our case, no? This case in the Tzitz Eliezer is a question of a child whose external genitalia were female, right? And Tzitz Eliezer says that the external genitalia determine what you are halachically. That's what he says. Even if you would be an androgynous, right, which means you have both external genitalia, so since we know an androgynous can't have children halachically, so you could do surgery and determine surgically what you are. But that's completely unrelated to someone who was female at birth and then wants to become male, was male at birth and wants to become female. Right? It's a very interesting tshuva, but completely not germane to our discussion. Nachum?
Yeah. I think there have been some cases where they've done surgery along those lines, maybe not that particular case, and then the person grows up and
so now there is a.
They're experiencing life as by their.
So there is a fairly high incidence of people who try to detransition. Zosomeres. Right? Again, we're dealing with people who, in all likelihood, are very, very psychologically tormented.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So the person goes from male to female, and then even transitions surgically. Right? It's right, transsexual, not transgender. And then the person decides, hey, let's go back.
That's a little tricky.
And this happens also. This happens also. Now, what does that show? I have very little idea what it shows, honestly. But it certainly shows, I would say, that people are tormented. By the way, identity is quite often fluid. No?
Fluid.
Meaning to say like this. The first time one of my Talmidim in Yeshiva came over to me to tell me that he was gay. So I'm like, okay. Like, doesn't faze me. So we speak occasionally. Then they get an email from him a few years later. He hadn't been in yeshiva for a while. I get an email from him, Rebbe, you'll never guess, but I met a girl. I'm like, whoa.
Did you tell her?
And now, again, what this probably means is that there is a spectrum of gayness. There are people who, Chaim Rappaport uses the expression, wall-to-wall gay. There are other people who are not completely... In other words, by the way, there are people I know who got heterim from poskim, you know, to test, to see, is there any level whatsoever of attraction? There are ways of testing this. There are ways of figuring it out. The reality is that in our world, some people who call themselves gay, what that means, especially with teenagers and people who are just becoming teenagers. I dealt with a kid once who was early teenage years, and the kid said he's gay. And what he meant by being gay is that he was bad at sports. Because all of the boys who are real boys are good at sports, and he's really bad at sports. And he didn't know what that meant, so he called himself gay. Now, we have to be very careful, right, with these things. Again, we do live in a world where identity in our world, the way people present themselves, I'm okay using whatever pronoun you want to use. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. You want me to use the pronoun he, I'll use he. You want me to use she, I'll use she. I'm fine. But we also have to recognize that final determination of these things is not always so simple. Right? Now, so the first Shuvah Netzitz Eliezer, I don't think, is saying that you are defined by... you are defined by the way you appear. The second Tshuva Netzitz Eliezer that they quote is in Chelek Chaf Beis Simen Beis. This is a Tshuva that's written to the Goyim of Mordechai Eliyahu, who was the Sephardic chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. We're dealing with big people, heavy hitters. And Mordechai Eliyahu sends him a Shaila, Masha Nisham Mechutz La'aretz. Right? It's not a question from Eretz Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom. It's a question from the outside. A man who became completely female. What's the halacha? So, it's a shayla. So, when I met the Mordechai Eliyahu, I told him that Reb Yosef Pelagi has a tshuva about this. And I went home, I looked in the tshuvas of Reb Yosef Pelagi, and I couldn't find it. Then you asked me the shayla again, and Yagati o Matzasi. So I went through all of my tshuva stuff again, and I found this one tshuva of Reb Yosef Pelagi. And Reb Yosef Pelagi says that a man who becomes a woman halachically is a female, so much so that there is no need for a get. Reb Yosef Pelagi says it. But the Netzitz Eliezer doesn't.
Okay?
Because the Netzitz Eliezer basically says, you know what? I don't think that's correct. Letter Gimel, all the way at the end of the Tshuva, he says, yeah, he quotes Reb Yosef Pelagi again. You could read through it yourself. He quotes Reb Yosef Pelagi. At the end he says, but it seems to me that this... female who became a male halachically has a din of an androgynous or a tumtum. In other words, he is not convinced that you follow what the person actually looks like. So there is a rumor out there. People, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I decided I was wasting too much of my time. I got off of Facebook. People always go, yeah, the Netzitz Eliezer don't say nothing of the sort. Right? Read the Netzitz Eliezer yourself. Steht nicht. The Netzitz Eliezer does not say that you are, that you follow what you appear like. It doesn't say that. He says, maybe you have a din of a tumtum. That's as far as he's willing to go. Right? Meaning, maybe I have to change your suffix. Okay. Right? Now, what about the yichud question that we deal with?
So, what were you saying about where they sit in shul?
Again, he doesn't deal with that question about where they sit in shul. It seems that where you sit in shul, the issue of mechitza depends on how you appear. I'm willing to say that. I don't think.
Disruption in shul. if you look like one thing and you sit in
the right, I mean, if you're wearing a dress and you sit in the men's section, yeah, it would be more disturbing.
What
absolutely.
About counting per minion?
What?
What about counting per minion?
Right, so it seems to me that a man who transitions to become a woman is still mechuyav to wear tefillin.
Yes.
Whether you would count to a minion, I would assume that me'ikar hadin you do count to a minion. I'd assume.
Who does?
What?
Which one does?
The man who transitions to a woman still counts to a minion.
And a woman who transitions to a man would not.
No.
Correct.
Would not?
Yes.
Well, what? That's kind of like.
Why?
Sexy.
It seems to me. That the halacha follows. It seems to me that the halacha, for most purposes, follows how you were assigned gender at birth. You were born a male, you're a male. You're born female, you're a female. What about questions of negia, questions of yichud? So I'm willing to be mekel on negia also, assuming that. Yeah, a woman becomes a man, like to shake the hand, or you know, it seems to me that if it's negiya without any chiba at all, that we assume that that is heter gomer in our world, right? I tell my students, I myself shake hands with women. I think that if you're touching someone of the opposite gender and there is no attraction whatsoever, mutter. Again, you can't blindly say, oh, I'm not attracted. Come on, like, get real, right? But it seems to me that there's room to be mako, right, when we know that there's no attraction. Got it. So in a case like this, I'd be willing to say this is not negiya derech chiba, I'd be willing to be mako. But yichud, it seems to me, you see, in the Sefer Dar Tapuchos, he assumes that yichud, like negiya, is based on whether there's attraction. I'm not sure. You see, Rav Lezer Shach, who was not modern Orthodox by any stretch, he was Rav Shivan Panovich. He was, right, Rav Shach. He was like, so Rav Shach, Zichrono Livracha, and his sefer, the Avi Ezri, on the Rambam and Perek Chof Beis of Yisurei Bia, I didn't give this to you on the Makoros just because Bar Ilan doesn't have it. But Rav Shach in Perchav Beis of Yisurei Bia has a chiddush based on the Rashi here in Kedushin, which I give you at the bottom of page 2, that he understands Rashi is saying that the Isur Yichud is not just the concern that you might come to Erva, but Yichud by definition is considered Krev Ala Arayus. You see, Krev Ala Arayus can mean different things. If you're hugging an Erva, that's Kreva. But there's also Kreva in the sense of if you're secluded. That is considered being close with an erva. And it's an objective definition. It's not because it might lead whatever. It's usher objectively. That's what Rav Shach develops. Now, it seems to me that this is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. I could like give a hushir about this point. But it seems that mitzad the isser of yichud, if someone is in the process of transitioning, let's say from male to female, and is taking hormones, the person is still halachically male, no question. But what happens with respect to the Isur Yichud once you have surgery? So that is a different shayla, and I give you here a tshuva of the Zeis Ra'anon. The Zeis Ra'anon was a Rav in Yerushalayim, who was the founding Rosh Hashiva of Eitz Chaim, where Isser Zalman Meltzer was the Rosh Hashiva, where Rav Arya Levin Zichrono Livracha was the Mashkiach. That's the yeshiva. Eitz Chaim was like the classic yeshiva. The Zeis Ra'anon was on the Beis Din of Reb Shmuel Salant in Yerushalayim. A very, very choshev Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. He was born in Warsaw, moved to Yerushalayim after. The Zeis Ra'anon in his tshuva discusses, what about someone as a shochov? Again, without being too graphic, if you are genetically male, biologically male, but you can't perform as a male can perform. You are incapable of getting an erection. So, is yichud mutter or usser?
At what age?
What?
95-year-old guy.
So, yeah, 95-year-old man, this often happens, right? There's a whole world out there of Viagra, which is there for these things, right? So that has a halachic term. It's called ishochof. And the Gemara in Saita tells me that a husband, by sota means that a husband warns his wife, I don't want you to seclude yourself with this person. Right? And then if she secludes herself with that person, with that, so then there is a din of sota, you have to drink the water, etc. That's the din in the Torah. Now, the dinim of sota are not completely compared to the dinim of yichud. So the Gemara says that I can do kinoy, I can warn my wife not to seclude herself with a fellow who's a shochof. But that does not prove a shochof in the sense of that a fellow can't perform like a male. But that does not prove that there is necessarily an iser yichud or shochof. In fact, many poskim feel, if you look in the Oser HaPoskim, now, if someone is a shochof, there is no iser yichud. Now, some say there's only no iser yichud if it's yichud midrabanan, one man or two women. Others say that with a shochof, there is no iser yichud, even d'oraisa. In the Sefer Devar Halacha, which is Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's brother-in-law, the Devar Halacha discusses whether there's yichud with a shochof. And the Dvar Halacha basically quotes that there are some who are mekel on this. So it seems, without being too graphic, but this question that the women asked about two women in town wanted to know, can they take a roommate who genetically was male, was born male, and then transitioned to become female? It could be that after surgery, again, surgery is usser. It's usser for many reasons. But after surgery, it could be that yichud would be permitted because that person would be a shochof. That person would be incapable of functioning like a male. By the way, my argument that the Tzitz Eliezer never said that you follow the way you appear. Again, people quote the Tzitz Eliezer, he doesn't mean it. There's a tshuva of Veshav V'Rafa. The Veshav V'Rafa is the chief rabbi of Rotterdam. It happens that, like, I used to work in Richard Joel's office. So when I was working in Richard Joel's office, one day the chief rabbi of Rotterdam comes, and he presents Richard Joel with his svarim. So Richard Joel calls me into his office, says, Ezra, take him. So I have the Chuvah Veshav V'Rafa on my shelf. I never thought it would be useful. It turns out in Simon Ayin Tes of the Chuvah Veshav V'Rafa, he has a Chuvah they call Be'inyan Shinoi Hateva, about changing of nature, right? Which is this case. And he says, it seems to me that the way you're born is halachically the way you are, and if you're born male, you have to wear tefillin even after you transition. Wonderful, everything that we've been discussing. And then he says, and I discussed this with Hagon Rav Waldenberg, the author of the Tzitz Eliezer. And he says, you know what? Mikol makom, tzarech lekarvo liyahados b'chol mada efshar. He said, you're right about everything, but you still shouldn't push this person away from Yiddishkeit. In other words, as many averis as the person is doing in terms of cross-dressing, the surgery, they're all averis, 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 don't push the person away from Yahadus.
Meaning,
keep the guy within the fold as much as possible.
You mean don't tell him to put on tefillin?
What?
You mean don't tell him to put on
tefillin? No!
Do tell him?
No, he should wear tefillin. But be nice to him. All that Tzitz Eliezer said is, I agree with you, but be nice to the guy. That Tzitz Eliezer never said, never, ever, ever, did he say, what's it called? So this is what, I actually went on for too long about this. This is a topic which, again, I'm not sure I'm going to post this one online. It's a little too whatever. We're supposed to have a Myriv. I have to take your question after Myriv.
Just very quickly.